Remember yesterday we talked about this verse in Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now that same verse is in Deuteronomy. And so the Old Testament confirms this, that all the law and the prophets hang on the idea of loving the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. The second is like unto it. And if you do that, then you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This isn't a one-time issue. I mean, it's a continuum. There should never be a millisecond in your life when this isn't true. But all milliseconds in your life test this. All stimulus that take place in your life, all testing, all temptations, all plans, all thoughts, all ideas, everything in your mind and external to you is trying to pull you away from this. So the purpose of life really is to find out by antagonism that all these things that pull you away from loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And remember that love there is a verb. Finding out that everything that tries to pull you away is fruitless and empty and vain. And it includes everything. It includes ambitions, ideas, plans, hopes, dreams. Remember when we've talked before about hope. Hope is typified in the Old Testament by the people that were on the land, the Jebusites, and they were the last ones to leave the land. They were the last enemy of Israel to be excised from the land. And hope is really what mankind loves the most. And again, it's the last one to leave the land. Because hope is what happens when you are in a place where something is happening that you don't like. And then hope gives you and you think that hope is something to look forward to. In fact, you know, as you well know, I'm on a mission, if you will, because of the false hope that the televangelists sell. Because they provide this, their response to the criticism is, well, if one person is healed, then it gives hope to the audience. Well, that's not what their hope should be in. In the scriptures, hope is exclusively used for the resurrection of Christ. And it's not just some external resurrection, it's the resurrection of Christ in you. So hope is the last enemy of the mystery of God to leave. It was in Israel, and it is today. Because hope is what you naturally do when you're confronted with something. I mean, it's as natural as breathing. It's what the mind does. It invents something to hope for. If you're in jail, you hope you're going to get released. If you're poor, you hope you're going to get some money. If you're lonely, you hope you're going to find a significant other. And it's all a lie. It's all something to try to keep. Well, it's as the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety Let nothing confuse you from the simplicity of Christ. Hope is the seductive power of Satan to pull you away from the finished work of Christ. But so are all these other things that we talked about yesterday. And so this week, you are, I hope, getting ready to burn the leaven. And the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Sadducees, and the leaven of Herod are the three leavens that are discussed by Christ. And as the essential part of Passover is that you would burn the leaven. Hope is connected with the leaven of Herod, because hope, by definition, means at that moment you see lack. And if you see lack in anything, then you have been permeated with the leaven of Herod. The leaven of the Pharisees, this hypocrisy, not exposing what's really there. And the leaven of the Sadducees is not seeing the power of God in every instance. But this morning I want to talk about the connection between hope and the leaven of Herod. Because if you hope for this, that's what you love. That's what you're loving, what you see as your hope. And remember, it's the verb. And if those of you have forgotten, the verb love in the Greek is agapeo, and it was a common word in the Greek language. And it's what you put first in your life at any given moment. So if you're putting anything other than God in your life at any given moment, then you're not a part of this great commandment. Is that clear to everybody? And the one that they'll kill you for is to make fun or decry their hopes. Because hope is what most people, that's what they eat. That's what sustains them. And it's even stupid things like they make it through the week because they're hoping for the weekend. They make it through the year because they're hoping for their vacation. You make it through the day because you hope that you'll be off work. I mean, it permeates everybody's being. And so, therefore, you're not content in whatsoever state you find yourself, because hope has deceived you. Now, this, it's fun to read emails from this standpoint, because when your eyes are open to this, that's all you see the human race is doing. Because hope is looking toward the east. Hope is worshiping the rising sun. Hope is having your hope in tomorrow. And so, you know, as we've talked about so often, the people got their theology from Jiminy Cricket. And it's just silly. It's goofy. It's sin. And especially it's sin if your hope has something to do with wanting more of God. I mean, that's, and people teach this. People teach you that you should hunger, you know, that you should, how can you be content in whatsoever state you find yourself if you want more of anything? More, the desire for more is the engine of the world. But it's the leaven of Herod. I mean, you see the connection? In order to hope for something, you have to, by definition, see lack. If you see any lack in any arena of your life, then for you, the sacrifice of Christ wasn't enough. And so you're crucifying the Son of God afresh. Now, if you can apprehend this, this will destroy you today. Because you'll find out how often you hope for something. I hope you understand this.
I was thinking back in college when we first got involved with this charismatic group back then, you know, and we went around and we were just highly offended, you know, that these Baptists and people who were there were keeping us from, you know, from all that God wants. You know, He wants you to have more. You know, it was that whole deal. and went through this whole big loop, you know. I guess I had to go through that loop. But, you know, if I had heard this,
you'd have been
I might have killed you.
You might. You know,
because we were so popped up then on our own stuff that, you know, no telling what we would have done. We would have picketed your house probably or something.
I talked about this once on the radio. And I was invited to speak. I told you the story, but it's appropriate here. I was invited to speak at this particular church. They were having a midnight service over, and it was the Church of God in Christ, and it was in Pleasant Grove. By the way, the entire city of Pleasant Grove is demon-possessed. I've had the weirdest experiences in Pleasant Grove. But anyway, this time they invited me to church, and so I'm sitting up at the front, and at some signal that I didn't see, everybody in the audience starts a Jericho march around me. And the whole church is walking around me, and they're chanting, "Holy isn't holy, holy isn't holy."
You might say that tonight.
And they were so furious with me. And I found out much later that the Church of God in Christ they don't believe in the Trinity. It's Jesus only. But that wasn't why they were mad at me. They were mad at me because I was making fun of hope. And that's all their preacher talked about, is the hope of tomorrow, the hope of even the coming of Jesus. That's, don't you understand that? Even that denies that he is come in the flesh.
That's what reaction came up in me, what you just said, the whole idea of the manna, the daily bread, the logos. I mean, if it isn't here now, then you're not, I mean, all hope is a way to squirt over someplace else. Just avoid Christ.
It's like the blessed hope is, when it talks about that, it's
a resurrection.
Talking about the resurrection, and it's here now. And
that's why it's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
So hope is really saying Christ will come.
Instead of is come. So the, remember we've talked about before that there is no difference between modern Christianity and Judaism. It's called temple Judaism. I mean, it's called synagogue Judaism instead of temple Judaism. If you believe the Old Testament, if you read the law, when the temple was destroyed, there could be no more Jewish race. And so instead, they created this idea that the same as Christians do now, that this Messiah is going to come someday, and then he will rebuild his temple. And until then, we will have synagogues. Well, we're not of this world. We are in the temple now, in the New Jerusalem, on the mercy seat. That's the finished work of Christ.